Hello, friends. Welcome to season three of the Questions Bar. In our podcast and video show sponsored by Incandescent Women Magazine, we invite you to listen in as girlfriends talk about the topics of the day that touch our minds, bodies, spirits, souls, and hearts. Alina Z is in Los Angeles. I'm Hope Katz Gibbs here in Washington, D.C. And today you are going to love our guest, Margarita Chang, CFP Pro. She is the founder and chief executive officer of Blue Ocean Global Wealth. She's been a spokesperson for the AARP Financial Freedom Campaign and a regular columnist for Investopedia and Kiplinger, and oh my goodness, so many more. Rita had this magical show on Incandescent Radio and Incandescent TV called Margaritas with Margarita. We did 105 episodes, and maybe we'll pick that up again someday. I've also had the privilege to be her publicist. We manage margaritachang.com, and she just is remarkable. She's constantly writing articles for some of the nation's biggest financial magazines. So, welcome, Rita.
Yay,
Oh my
welcome.
goodness. Yes,
Thank you so much. I'm so excited to be here for this conversation.
yes,
Yeah,
yes.
and it's my first time meeting you, so I'm very excited to learn more about you because, women and finance is something that is missing. I feel like as girls that grow up, nobody teaches young women how to manage their finances. Well, not many people teach young men either. But especially for women and finances, I feel like it's been like a taboo. Women and money, don't talk about money. Like, it's amazing that you're supporting women, and men, I'm sure, but in finances, especially with margaritas. Who doesn't want to talk about finances and margaritas?
So Rita and I met in 2012. I was giving a speech at a financial planners organization meeting in DC, and she came up to me afterward and said, "We have to work together." And so we have been for years and years and years. So it's a blessing. So tell us, Rita, I know a little bit more about your backstory, perhaps than our readers and listeners. But tell us about your business, where it is now, and what you are doing as a woman to stay strong. Rita is an amazing marathon runner, and she got into that later in her life. So talk all about you and what you're doing today in June of 2026.
Well, thank you for that. So, I founded Blue Ocean Global Wealth shortly after you and I met in 2012. Blue Ocean Global Wealth was launched in November 2013. What's really unusual is I've only worked two places my professional career as a financial advisor. I worked from Ameriprise at Ameriprise from 99 to 2013, large firm, and then in 2013 until the present, my own independent advisory firm. So there's some things that are true to my core that will never change. Financial planning first, asset management second. So what that means is no matter your age or stage, I believe everyone deserves access to competent, ethical financial advice. It's not that people don't have money, but why should the size of your portfolio to determine whether you're getting answers to the questions that are so important to you. If you were to ask me my why in 1999, it would be the same as 2026. But what I think is more important than ever is there is a distinction between information and advice. There's no shortage of information to tell people to stop drinking coffee, to stop doing this. But I'm telling you, one of the most beautiful, this has just been an incredible week on so many levels. But what made this week so special is I went to see my client. She lives in Prince George's County, actually probably closer to Charles County, right on the county edge. And I inherited this client relationship. And when I first met her, it was 2004, it's 22 years ago. And she said, I work hard. And I was like, ma'am, I know you do. And I met her daughter for the first time. And how amazing was it to be able to tell her, you know what? You don't need to work anymore. She's 70 and she's been working her whole life. She's a single mom that put her daughter through school and she helped put her granddaughter through school. She didn't have to, but she wanted to. And I was able to tell her, you know what? We've been working together. Not only do you have Social Security, but a pension from your life partner, but all that savings we did. I know you only owe $54,000 on your house, but we're going to be able to pay that off. And you know what? By paying off her house, it is the right thing to do. We just lowered her expenses by $1,000, right? That's amazing. I live for those conversations. But even if something is a little bit difficult, I'm still going to show up for people. So what am I working on? I'm just working on, yes, I do help men, but making sure every woman, no matter her age or stage, can become financially confident, empowered, and resilient.
That's so beautiful. How do you help women to cope, and how do you cope with stress? Because I feel like, especially with financial planning, especially what's going on in the country right now with things that are happening every single day, how do you stay sane with all of the news that are coming through all the outlets and inflation going up and planning for the future when the future, I personally feel like I have a financial advisor, and personally, I just want to go and hoard all my money. And then I'm like, well, the inflation is gonna kill all of that. So saving money under your pillow is not an ideal situation too. Like, what do you invest in? But I don't think you can invest into anything without having clarity, without having sanity, without having core peace inside of you. So how do you create that first and foremost so you can think clearly and act clearly?
I love how you started with clarity because what I tell people, I was like, I can't promise you the sun, moon, and the stars, but I can promise that you will have clarity about what's important to you, clarity about your options, the confidence to know you're making the right decisions for you in your situation, and the sense of control. It's true, we cannot control the news cycle, but we can control how we react, how we save, and how we invest. And I think that's been comforting for clients. I tell people, I am here for you. It is okay for you to be stressed. I think it's really important that we affirm and acknowledge people's feelings. Don't dismiss them. It is okay for you to be stressed. I'm here for you. Just don't panic. Don't react in panic. And a lot of times people are like, well, what is the value that a financial advisor brings? Like, I'll tell you, I have a friend who's a little bit sassy, who I know from college. And we also have to remember, I graduated from high school when I was 17. The first time I went to college campus was for orientation. So I was kind of a fish out of the water, but I was always hardworking. And he's like, you know, all financial advisors, they're kind of dishonest. They just want to take 1% of your money and move on. I said, well, you must be talking to the wrong financial advisors because one of the things I do is I give people clarity and confidence and control. But to answer your question, it can be really stressful. How do I stay sane? True story. I understand. Listen, I'm in Maryland. I could like run to DC from here. I understand I can't run away from my problems, but what I do is I allow myself to go on a little runcation once a year. And this year, so it allows me, and I share what I'm doing with clients, and some clients are like, can I come with you? And I was like, I'll curate a trip for you. So I went on a little runcation to Japan. And when I say runcation, it was a runcation. I arrived on the 11th of February and I ran the Kyoto Marathon on the 15th of February. Then I cruised on to Osaka. And then I came back and I finished in Tokyo and I came home. Now, a lot of people are like, what in the world are you doing? That doesn't really sound like a lot of fun. It was a lot of fun. I mean, running marathons is hard work. But in between my marathons, I did work US hours. And for any compliance professionals who are listening, I did not place any trades. I made sure everything. I worked so hard leading up to the marathon and explaining to clients what I was doing. I didn't place any trades. I had everybody's distributions for 2026 taken care of before I hopped on that plane. And in between running, I got to go to the hot spring. I got to drink green tea, eat beautiful food, and just read. So that's exactly how I stay sane. It's my runcations.
That's so great. Would do your clients ever come with you, or do they ever ask you how they can take a runcation, or do you have any stories maybe? Because I'd love to share stories of actual people so somebody can be listening, like, oh, you know what? I could take a runcation. Do you have any other examples? Maybe your clients got inspired by you and they were like, oh, I can go and take a, I don't know, sleepcation. That's what I would do.
I
Go
love
just
that.
sleep for a week. But do you have anything you could share for other people?
So sure, absolutely. So the most prestigious event or the most serious marathon was Tokyo. So I'll be honest, I ran all of them, but in Kyoto and Osaka, I allowed myself to really enjoy the experience. I ran the first 20 miles, and then the last 10K, which is 6.2 miles, I stopped and took pictures. Now, what's interesting is one of my clients' fiance is Japanese. And I actually met with them in Kyoto. And honestly, I looked up and they were like along the course. It was very, very beautiful. So none of the clients have come with me, but I think that giving clients the confidence that, hey, it's okay, this environment we're experiencing for you to just kind of remove yourself from temporarily. We're not running away from it. It's just, I need this. And personal finance is serious business, but it's like some of my clients are like, Rita, I'm so proud of you. That's exactly how you stay strong and sane, right? I say it keeps my mind sharp. I stay sane and strong. So, yeah, it was very, very special because I got to meet the client's fiance in person. Anybody who knows me is before I run, I like to eat any of these items. I like to eat pho, Vietnamese noodles, Japanese soba, or Japanese udon. So you can imagine, like, I was excited. They treated me to like a bowl of soba. And by the way, compliance professionals, this is Japan. So that meal was less than $25. My bowl of noodles, including like my drink, was $12. So we are well within compliance guidelines.
I love how it.
He wanted to treat me twice. And I was like, okay, what's the exchange rate? Yes, you can treat me because I had been helping him. There's a big age difference between him and his fiance, making sure that, you know, they were going to be okay for the day when he's not here.
That's good. Question for you. I'm going to step away from our questions actually and just ask you something that I know a lot of women come to me and I see people writing that online. So when you help women, for example, be financially independent, and let's say a woman, you may help her to retire earlier, not at 70, but at earlier. How do you help women with guilt of not being in the hustle culture? Because I feel like there's so much talk right now of like, you have to get this done, Instagram, post, make money, da, 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 work. Like you're constantly, and I'm speaking from personal experience, I went on vacation and I'm still like having these thoughts of, I need to do this, I need to do that, I need to, like, it's constantly go. And I feel like when somebody gets to retire, and let's say they retire at a younger age, and all of a sudden they don't have to go and hustle, and there's guilt. About like, well, like for, and then we'll also mention I have a friend who decided to do this and she retired early and she also saw fire and retired early and she went to this event. So that's why I'm also bringing it from not just people that I don't know mentioning it, but people that I know. And a lot of these women have shared how much guilt they had because all of their friends are still working, all of their friends are still hustling, and here are these queens retiring early. So what is your advice and what is your just your feedback on how to own the fact that you are such a rock star and with the help of your Margarita Chang financial advising, somebody can retire early, and how do you take it all in without feeling guilty?
This is a really good question. Women feel guilt, right? But men do too, but we're focused on women. Even my own mommy felt guilt after the loss of my father. People like, Eileen, what are you going to do? Are you going to sell your house? People would ask me, what's your mom going to do? And I was like, no, mom is just going to stay right put. Mom doesn't need to move. So we don't want to shame other people for not planning, but don't feel guilty for the good and hard work you did. Even one of my clients, he hired me to do fee-only planning because all his money was in his business. And I helped him. And at that time when he hired me, he was 52. And I said, if you sell your business for X and make sure you set aside the amount of money for taxes and invest in this way, you know, you don't need to work for the rest of your life. And this is what he told me. He said, you know what? I realized that I had a financial plan, but I need to have a life plan. And at the end of the day, I tell clients, particularly women, it is okay. We are human beings. It's not about do, 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 go, go, go. But it's okay for you to just to sit back and just enjoy life a little bit, right? Last Friday, someone I know, we weren't like best friends, but I know her from attending conferences. She was diagnosed with lung cancer in 2023, and I would send her cards and I'd have been sharing her. She lost her battle. She's 59 years old, and she was healthy, strong, fit. Reminds me a lot of my uncle. Lung cancer. No, she never smoked a day in her life. She left us all too soon. So, what did we learn from that? That it is really about savoring the moments. We're not doing anything reckless. It's okay to just like be present and enjoy today. And I think people's financial plans gives them the confidence to do that. But as far as feeling guilty, it's just like I told my mom when she was feeling guilty. I said, "Mommy, if you, I know you have empathy for other people, and that's why you're such an amazing, beautiful person." First thought. Second thought, you shouldn't feel guilty that you need to stay in your home, that you can stay in your home and you don't need to sell it. No judgment here. Just because other people have to do that doesn't mean they're bad. It just they meant the reason why you're able to do this is because daddy loved you a lot. We planned. And what kind of planner would I be? There's if I served as an ambassador for the AARP Financial Freedom Campaign and my mom has to sell her house after the passing of my father, like I should just give that title back because it doesn't mean anything. So I think it's going back to what's important to that person, right? And if they did the planning, I know it's okay for them to feel empathy, but they shouldn't feel shame and guilt for, the choices. I don't want to say sacrifices. It's a lot of little choices all along the way.
Yeah. You know, it's interesting what you said. And I feel like it's a collective that we hear giving us the guilt. And it's the people who are jealous, like, oh, how dare you have it easy. And then if it was just one person saying that to you and everybody else was living a life of pleasure and joy and feeling abundant and feeling happy for other people, then you would not feel guilty. I think it's because of the collective being overly, I don't know, negative, whatever the word is, about people feeling happy because I mean, that's how they make money. The collective, the society, right now, unfortunately, cannot survive if everybody's happy and everybody's powerful. And so it's up to us. And this is why we started this questions bar to have more voices like you. I feel like if you say the same thing, I say the same thing, Hope says the same thing, Cynthia says the same thing, and more of us saying that it's okay to enjoy life, it's okay to relax, it's okay to be powerful, it's okay, it's more than okay to be who you are and enjoy your life. Then it will become the collective voice and it will become the new society. So I'm just really grateful that you also said the same thing because I just see so many, and I myself have felt guilty. And so I wrote it and I have it on my notebook, like in front of me, so that I can see it. It says, I have the right. I have the right to enjoy my life. Everybody has the right to enjoy their lives. And we need to talk about it more often because what you do is you help people to get to place and then they're like, oops, I feel guilty being at that place. And that's not okay. I mean, I'm not saying I'm not judging it's okay or not okay, but I just want more women to be happy with their success. A lot of women don't get taught of what to do once that I achieve financial independence, once I achieve the pinnacle. Because once I achieve the pinnacle, they're like, well, I've been getting and getting and getting and getting, and like, what's the next mountain? And then I find, and I'm curious also, do you ever see that in your line of work where women achieve, they get where they need to get to, and they're like, oh, shoot, I don't have any challenges, I don't have any problems, and they create their own problems.
Well,
Have you seen that?
I know even in the financial advice profession, my profession, the number of women is increasing. At one point, it was 20% of all certified financial planner of all of 20% of all certified financial planners are women. Now I think it's closer to 23%. But there were times when, like, I might have doubted myself because all language, right? Like, how can you be successful if you're focused on planning, assets, pay? Like, you're just going to have to chase new people because not everyone's going to pay for planning. And I was questioning the status quo, and I said, listen, there is nothing wrong with how you're being doing business. I didn't say that. It's just that I've discovered that there's a lot of people that value planning. They don't want to necessarily give up control of their portfolio, or maybe they do. It's just in order to get to that point, they need guidance and clarity about what's possible. And I felt like because I started to go on this different path, I never criticized anybody. I'm very quiet. I just put my head down and work. As crazy as it sounds, some people felt threatened by that. They're like, oh, what are you doing? And I said, listen, I'm just trying to, put my head down, work, and make sure that I live up to what I want to do for people, provide them clarity, confidence, and control. But you keep on doing what you're doing. I'm not going to bother you. But I do feel that people felt, some people were genuinely curious, but some people felt threatened. But what about assets under management? I said, we need assets and savings and investing to reach our goals. But all too often, people focus on the portfolio, but they never focused on the people. They never focused on their passion, their priorities, or the plan, or the process, how they get people there. So, yeah, I mean, I've experienced that. It can be really hard. You can start to doubt yourself, but then what always brings me back, even when I feel like I got a little bit of a kick in the butt, is stories like what I had on Tuesday that I am making a difference. This is making a difference in the lives of others. And that's what keeps me going. That's what keeps me, like, inspired to continue to do good work for good people.
I love that. Just personal note, I'm finishing this book right now. I'm going to launch it on Sunday. It is half, more, less than a half, like 10% book and 90% journal space. But it is, it's called Be Your Own Fairy Godmother. And one part of it is a really big part is where you write your triumphs from age from like 0 to 10, 10 to 20, and so forth. And what you just said is so powerful because what you have helped this woman with on Tuesday is the triumph that's going to keep you going forward and remind you like why you're doing what you're doing and shut all the voices around you and really be laser focused so you can create more of those successes and help more people. And I want more women to remember their own triumphs. Because when we focus on what's important to us, like you just said, then you can create what's more important to other people. And that creates a snowball of this beautiful society. And I absolutely love that you just said that, that your success, your triumph on Tuesday is what keeps you going.
You know,
Absolutely.
I have a
Absolutely.
question
It's
for you.
amazing to look at someone and say, you know what? If you want to keep on working, you absolutely can. But it can be very scary for someone. I was like, you're going to be okay. And even the daughter's like, wow, this is amazing. I was a little nervous about mom. And it is truly the gift that keeps giving because I've been working with this client and her life partner. He passed away, but when I Before he passed, this is what he said to me. And I started crying in the meeting. And they were okay. It also makes people human. I said, before John became sick, we talked about retirement and we planned. And he said, assets go to his daughters, pensions go to Linda, that's his life partner, because she's been so good to me. I want to be good to her for when I'm not here, because she deserves to be taken care of. And I was like, this is the gift keeps on giving. So she has a pension, she has Social Security, she has the survivor pension, and she has savings. And we paid off her home to give her that peace of mind.
Yeah,
Beautiful.
it is beautiful. So I want to go back to that previous discussion. So I don't understand this, why women feel guilty about their success. Like it really confuses me. Like why do you guys think that is?
I think it's society trying to keep women subservient, honestly, because statistically, a woman who is not in a relationship is happier than she is when she's married.
And men statistically live longer if they are married, and they're happier if they are married. And so marriages are actually benefiting men. And if you're in a marriage, then you are dependent, and then you can be guilted in because I'm the man, I'm taking care of you. And it's a story that's been taught to us for generations. And yes, in the past, women are smaller, and physically may not be able to do certain things that man can. Like a woman might not be able to build a house as fast as a man because a man can literally, most men can lift more. So the story is like repeating over and over. And you know what? I also think there is a story where a woman is making a ham and she cuts off the sides, and her daughter is like, "Why did you cut off sides?" And she's like, "I don't know, my mom always cut off the sides, so I cut off the sides." And they're like, "Well, let's call mom and find out why she did it." So they call mom and she's like, "I don't know, my mom used to cut off the sides of the ham, so I do it." And so they're like, "Well, let's call grandma." And they call grandma and she's like, "Well, the oven was so small, the ham wouldn't fit, so I had to cut off the sides." And so I feel like that's where the guilt comes from. Because generation before generation before generation was taught that this is what women should do. And when I was a kid, you have like all these girls like pushing little strollers, and I had my own little stroller and playing with the doll, but it was never like, I never dreamt of like getting married and having a husband. I was like, I'm gonna have a company and I'm gonna be a big boss and I'm just gonna have all this freedom. And we're not taught that, most of us. So when you do have that, I think a lot of women, if you don't have Leo rising like myself and Leo Mars, like you're being dumbed down and told to feel guilty. And even with my Leo, which is like go, 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 I sometimes feel guilty when because I have a big, really sensitive heart and I see people struggling. And you know what somebody told me this weekend, actually, and I just want everybody who's listening to hear this. We have to stop playing God, and we have to stop being responsible for other people's problems if we didn't cause them. Because if it is somebody else's lack of financial planning, lack of whatever decision making they had, they just went with the flow, who knows? But we should not be taking responsibility and feel guilty because someone else did not do the same things as we did. Or maybe God gave us great gifts because of our karma from past lives or this life. Who knows? But he was like, stop playing God, because my guilt would come from, oh, I feel bad for these people. They're struggling. They're poor. They have these problems. And it's like, did I cause those problems? No, but I still feel sad. And it's like, it's connecting the empathy with the guilt. And I'm learning myself to stop, like being empathetic and feeling bad for people is not helping them. Help, what helps people is when I'm standing in my truth, doing my thing, inspiring them, doing my work, and creating a better world. So, but I just know personally the guilt is from the empathy, the guilt is from other people, the guilt is how dare you when you're growing up. People are like, what do you think? You're the best? What do you think? You're the smartest? Like, that's the worst thing that somebody can say to you. Who do you think you are? And they make you feel guilty because nobody plays with you when you're the smartest kid, when you are the richest kid, nobody wants to play with you. And then they make you feel guilty about your blessings. And then you feel bad because nobody plays with you because you're all alone and you're outcast. I think that's my opinion. But what about you, Margarita?
I mean, I think a lot of the reason, I hope to answer your question, this is a mystery, right? I think a lot of it is societal pressure. And then there's definite intersectionality, certain cultures as well. It's not an excuse, but it's an understanding and awareness. And I tell people that awareness is the first step. So making sure that you're really mindful of not perpetuating this problem of having people feel guilty. I'm a mom of three Gen Z kids, and sometimes my kids have successes, sometimes they don't. And I've told them this. I said, you can experience different emotions at the same time. You can be happy for somebody who maybe won that scholarship, while at the same time you're disappointed that you didn't win. Because guess what? When you do win, you want people to be happy for you too. So you're allowed to have multi emotions. I don't want you to, I want you to understand that sometimes it's okay to experience conflicting emotions. And just yesterday, My oldest daughter's in grad school, and she asked me to review some stuff with her. And I said, "Yeah, you can decline this unsubsidized loan. The reason why is you just got a $6,000 scholarship." Now, 6,000 might not sound a lot. I understand that you put a lot of time in these applications, but I want you to create a little spreadsheet. Not now. Semester's not qu the quarter's not quite over because she's on the quarter system, and I want you to think about and then create and document every scholarship you applied for, and then the ones you won. And you'll see, if you think about how long each application took you, you'll see that it was still worthwhile. And she's like, "Yeah, mommy, I never looked at it that way." So I think that it is societal pressure, but I think it's also important that we teach people you can be disappointed that you didn't win something. However, it's also really important that you'd want, if the tables were turned, you would want someone to be happy for you. So it's okay that you're sad that you weren't picked, but please also be happy for somebody at the same time. And I think that has really, served them very well, because this summer, it's a difficult economy. It's a difficult situation with the government. But I'm here to tell you, all three of my kids got paid government internships and fellowships. We are three for three. That is 100%. And that's amazing. And I've told them, you just got to keep your keep on putting your self out there. You have to keep on applying, even if you're rejected. It's not that your candidacy was rejected, it's just the environment. So I think that gave them the confidence to keep on trying. But I do think, to answer your question, a lot of it is like pressure. We don't know any better, so we keep on perpetuating this.
Yeah,
I
very.
think that's a very good question. That's a good point. We don't know any better. And it's up to us, ladies, to be better, to create better.
Support. That's what the Empowered Together Network is, that Lena and I and Cynthia DiLorenzi created. That's what the questions bar is. We really just want people's voices out there so people know they're not alone. And the thing
Yes.
about being jealous of each other, that's just such a deep insecurity. I don't think we can fix that in someone else, but we can encourage them maybe to let go just a little bit. And Rita, your response was so perfect. It leads us to our last question. What tools do you use that you can share to inspire others?
Well, I always go back to my why. And I think this is really helpful. So, why did you want to become a financial planner? I want to change conversations about money and wealth. I want people to gain clarity, confidence, and control. So, I think that always go back to your why. That helps me. And hopefully, that'll inspire some others. I'm learning this, and I'm by no means perfect. I'm also learning to set boundaries, because I think that sometimes we feel like we have to do everything for everybody. However, my children actually help me with this one. They're like, "Mommy," they do call me mommy. Although my son will say mom because he's too cool for school. But my daughter's like, "Mommy, you can't pour from an empty cup." So it doesn't mean that you're selfish, but sometimes it's okay to say no, because by saying no, you're not a jerk, but that allows you to take better care of yourself in that moment so that you can help people more in the future. So
Exactly.
boundaries. And then, I mean, I understand that it may not be possible for everyone to take a runcation, but honestly, there's things that you could do locally. So sometimes I might have a little yoga retreat. And that yoga retreat means that I'll go to three yoga classes on a Saturday. So I'll start with hatha, I'll do restorative, I'll do something else. And so this really does not cost a lot of money. It's accessible to me, where I have like my little mini yoga retreat. I'll do like three
I
classes.
love that. You know, that is such a great idea because people don't think of it. When you go to a yoga retreat in Costa Rica, you do yoga morning, morning, day, night. You can do the same thing. You can literally buy three classes. I never thought of it. That
I
is
did. I had
such
a
a
yoga
brilliant
retreat.
idea.
So good.
And what was so cool about this is I was actually supporting
It's
my
brilliant.
friends who just completed their yoga certification. So by me showing up, their class is full. That gives them the confidence, but I'm also doing something for myself. And so this little yoga retreat, I actually had an unlimited pass, so it didn't cost me anymore. I just booked off the time where I did, and there was breaks in between. I found that to be helpful. The other thing is, I'm very much about rituals. I like drinking my green tea. I also like aromatherapy and baths. Like, I feel like there's nothing that nice aromatherapy and green tea can't like fix, even if you have the most stressful day. So I think it's finding what's important to you. I mean, I also like baking too. I'm not the best cook, okay? But I am very good at baking because baking is really chemistry. It's science.
Yeah, they say cooking is an art, baking is a science.
Yes.
On your
And
show, you had Mrs. Bakewell. That was very cool. Lady created this croissant company. Elegant as amazing. So check out Mrs. Bakewell. Anyway, go ahead, Alina.
Thanks. No,
Final thought?
I was just gonna say what my biggest takeaways are is creating rituals that are important to you, which can be as far as another side of the world or your local neighborhood community where you can buy literally a few yoga classes in one day. And by the way, did you know, this is like brand new information, you can buy a birthday cake for yourself any day of the week and they won't even check your ID. Like you can treat yourself for a birthday. You can treat yourself to a retreat. Like you can do so many things people don't even think about. So I really like that. And I also wanted to note that when I was single, I would see these girls with these really nice men and I was thinking, I don't want to be jealous. Because I did have jealousy at first, and I was like, oh, jealousy is a great sign to pay attention. They have something that I want. And then I reframed it into if they can create what they have, so can I. If they can do it, so can I. So jealousy became like, oh, that's amazing. If she can do it, so can I. So I really want women to take away the same thing. Somebody is jealous of your clients. Oh my God, I wish I could retire. Or somebody is jealous of you. Oh my God, I wish I could go to Kyoto and do a marathon there and then Tokyo. So can you just call Margarita Chang and she will get you the financial advising. But it's true. I really want women to understand that jealousy is something that just your mind, your soul, something says, hey, I want the same. And guess what? If somebody has it, that means so can you because there's unlimited resources
Yeah,
in this
I
world.
love that. And I just want to share one thing that my dad imparted me. My dad said, no evil thinking. It's okay to be sad and disappointed, but when you have negative thoughts, or as my dad said, evil thinking, it erodes your beauty, right? So my dad was very, very wise. It may be like he didn't communicate things in the best way because English wasn't his first language, and he's like a scientist, so he's like very rational. But he's like, when you think evil thinking, it's not only does it erode your beauty, but it erodes your inner beauty and it taints your way of thinking. So I always keep that to mind. I'm like, you know what? That person, they're doing the best they can. They are entitled to feel the way they do, but I'm not going to let their actions or thoughts discourage me from moving forward and helping people gain clarity, confidence, and control.
I love it.
I love that.
Beautiful. Well, cheers to you all. Margarita
Cheers.
Chang is episode 20 of the Questions Bar. Thank you so much. Check her out, margaritachang.com. She has a podcast and a video show as well, and she is just a remarkable inside and out woman. Thank you, Alina Z, co-host of the Questions Bar. I'm Hope Katz Gibbs. We are thrilled to be here with you repeatedly. Check out thequestionsbar.com and you'll see all our past episodes. We will see you all very soon. Thank you, Rita.
Thank you.